Hello and welcome to SourceCast episode number 21. You know what that means? This podcast is old enough to drink. That means we can open up this. Calm down, it's seltzer water. I'm your host, Joey Lombardi. This week's episode, everyone is suing each other. Hi, Jonathan. Oracle is suing HP. Oracle is suing Google. Indiana is suing IBM for breach of contract. EMC is suing Pure for patent infringement. And I think that's it. So that's going to be our lead story. We're also going to discuss the AI wars. IBM's finally making some traction from a profitability perspective with Watson. And now Microsoft throws their hat into the ring. We'll get into that. And if there's enough time, we'll ask the question, should you cry at work? Let's start the show. I'm going to drink some seltzer water. So let's get into it. Why is Oracle suing Google? Let's discuss that first. The heart of Oracle's $8 billion lawsuit against Google is, should Google be allowed to use parts of Java under fair use to fundamentally develop what became Android? And Oracle is saying that Google has caused $8.8 billion in damage to Oracle by using Java to develop early versions of Android and probably their browsers. It should also be noted that Java came from Sun Microsystems, and Oracle did not pay $8.8 billion for the entire company. So they are seeking damages for more than what the entire Sun Microsystem company is worth. If Oracle wins this lawsuit, it could have much larger implications for any application development company ever, because an Oracle win basically states that the underlying application language or coding language used and the developer of said programming language would have rights and or damages or some kind of revenue stream into the application that was built. Pay attention to that one. Oracle is also suing Hewlett-Packard Enterprise. Oracle said that HP falsely represented to customers that HP and Terex, which is another company that they were partnering with, could lawfully provide Solaris updates and other support service contracts at a lower cost than Oracle. And then HP worked with Terex to improperly access and provide Oracle's proprietary Solaris updates to customers. So Oracle's making friends with everybody. Their buddies at EMC also filed a lawsuit this week against Pure. EMC claims that Pure Storage infringed on U.S. patent number 7434015. Now, EMC already won money against Pure to the tune of $14 million. In the previous suit, the judge cleared Pure of two other patent infringements. So, EMC has found a new patent in which Pure has potentially infringed upon. Good luck, Pure. Rounding out our lawsuits, IBM is getting sued. By whom, you may ask? By the state of Indiana. Why, you may ask? For the classic breach of contract. So what happened? IBM won a contract in 2006 with the state of Indiana that was worth $1.3 billion to fix and privatize Indiana's welfare services. In 2009, after a flood of complaints, then-Governor Mitch Daniels canceled the contract. They've been in a lawsuit ever since. Should the court rulings go in Indiana's favor, Indiana could seek up to $175 million in damages and also be forgiven of the remaining $50 million that is still in the contract. If you look at the state of Oregon case with Oracle, large companies seem to have a hard time winning these cases with state governments. So good luck to both parties. So let's talk about artificial intelligence now. It's been a buzz term. We've been talking about it for months on this podcast. IBM is the clear leader in AI, from a branding perspective with Watson, from an investment perspective. But there are competitors. In last week's podcast, we talked about how Google is coming on strong with their DeepMind experiments. One of Watson's founding fathers has started a new company called Noodle AI, and he's backed by a well-funded investment company. And now Microsoft is throwing their hat in the ring. And it didn't start off so well. 2 weeks ago, Microsoft unveiled their artificial intelligence project, or one of their artificial intelligence projects, that's geared towards millennials. I think it's called Tay. They made Tay available via Twitter or some API available in Twitter, and people were allowed to interact with the AI. Well, people are smart, and they figured out a way to get Tay to say some very inappropriate things on Twitter. And the company has been apologizing nonstop since the event has occurred. They took the system down, they apologized, This week, they were at a conference where they were discussing AI and their intentions towards AI, and they were profoundly apologizing again. I'm also going to add that I don't think that the amount of apologies that they have released is necessary. They clearly did not design or build anything with the intent of offending anyone, and clearly some nefarious and clever users figured out a way to co-opt this thing and make it say rather nasty things. But clearly that was never their intent. In the age of public shaming, not to reference another podcast that I did, let's give these people a break here. But things are heating up in AI. There's competition that's starting to happen. We're starting to see more everyday use out of the technology through voice query and through search. We're seeing more intelligent feedback, and investors are starting to get it. The question is, will that be beneficial to a company like IBM that's been investing in AI for years and is well ahead of their competitors, or will the learning curve for investors take too long? And while we're talking about Microsoft, I just want to mention that there's a rumor going around they are interested in purchasing Yahoo again. For those of you that don't know, there was heavy talks in 2008 when Steve Ballmer was running the company that they wanted to pick up Yahoo's internet assets. That fell through. By the way, that deal was worth $45 billion. There's talk again that Microsoft may buy Yahoo, and it wouldn't be for $45 billion because they're hurting. Talk is that Yahoo would take about 10. What I'm wondering is, what does Microsoft even need to buy Yahoo for? What are they even doing? Microsoft has email. Microsoft has a web browser. Microsoft has a web presence. They have online documents. They have content production. So let's be honest. They want to buy Tumblr. That's what it is. In a news tidbit that should come as a surprise to no one, and I make the same joke every week, IBM bought another company. But there's a pattern developing. So a couple of weeks ago, IBM bought a company called Optivia. We talked about it on the podcast. They're a CRM consulting company that specialized in Microsoft products for the UK government. And I commented, what an odd purchase. I'm not exactly sure what they would do with something like that, and if it even has global implications. Flash forward to this week, they bought a company called Blue Wolf. And what does Blue Wolf do? Well, they specialize in CRM services, but not for Microsoft, Salesforce. Now it's starting to make sense. IBM has traditionally been partnered with SAP to sell CRM products. IBM does not have a strong CRM product themselves, so they have traditionally resold SAP. Now they're buying companies that know how to do configuration work for Microsoft and for Salesforce, because they're saying CRM configuration work, specifically centering around Salesforce, could be worth up to $111 billion annually. So IBM is making a play for that market. The question is, like in the marketing space, are they going to pick up another company that does CRM consulting? For those investors out there, not that this is an investment podcast, IBM likes to buy in threes. And closing out the news this week, just to confirm, Perot Systems has officially been purchased by NTT for $3.05 billion. That means that Dell is now officially $3 billion richer to apply that money towards the massive amount of debt to buy AMC. And the former Perot Systems company has gone to Japan. And now we'll close things out with some news that you can use. The Atlantic asked a very interesting question. Is it okay to cry at work? I'll let you finish laughing. 41% of women admit to crying at work, but only 9% of men do the same. So the question is it okay to cry at work? There really isn't a lot of facts or conversation to it. I think this is a personal preference situation, and I will recount a personal story. Several years ago, I went to a wedding. What does this have to do with work, you may ask? I found at this wedding that a second cousin of mine was dating a rather young administrative assistant at my office. And that same administrative assistant was not attending the wedding with him, and there happened to be another young lady by his side. So the following Monday, I walk into the office, and the administrative assistant is not there. And she eventually comes in late, eyes are puffy, not happy with the world. And of course she finds me, to let me know what a terrible human being my cousin was. Fair enough. And of course she's sad, and people are looking at her desk, which was in a very public place. So I took her aside, I felt bad. And 24-year-old me gives her terrible advice, and says something along the lines of, there's no crying in baseball. Or in reality, I probably said something like, don't let these people see you cry. Be stronger than that. Don't give him the satisfaction of ruining your day. That sort of thing. But in hindsight, and in a more evolved world, was that the right advice? Should we judge someone for having a bad day and crying at their desk? I don't know if I feel qualified, but I will say, in my most honest of opinions, that in the workplace, control of one's emotions, whether it be sadness, anger, humor, happiness, is appreciated. So, exercises and restraint, regardless of the spectrum of emotions, is what we are expected to do within the office. Should those expectations change, we might have a different conversation, but in my opinion, we all have to keep things pretty steady. And I hope that this podcast did not make you cry, or if it did, you only cried with laughter. So thank you for listening this week, and we will be back again with episode number 22.